We are constantly focused on how expensive energy costs are here in Connecticut. And actually, just a few weeks ago, the Hartford Business had an article, and I recognized one of the names in that article, Commissioner of the Department of Economic and Community Development, Dan O'Keefe. And he was talking about Connecticut's energy prices. And he joins us now to talk more about it. Dan, thank you so much for your time. And we appreciate you being here on WICC to talk about this.
Of course. Great to be with you.
So, you know, the article is obviously talking about high energy prices and sort of what the economic effect is. There was an interesting quote right in the very beginning where you say the state's high energy costs pose an existential threat to its manufacturing heavy economy. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. And this isn't something that I've just recently been saying. I've been saying this since I took on this job. And it's because the data is super clear. So if you look at our economy, it's about 12% manufacturing, which, you know, if you said to me when I took on the role of economic development, where would I, if I looked at a map of the United States, where would I put a center of excellence of manufacturing? I don't know that I would pick the Northeast. But it's because of our long history in not just manufacturing, but advanced manufacturing in support of our national defense. That's about two-thirds of our industry here in Connecticut. It's because we've got these three large national defense primes in Electric Boat and RTX, which is both Collins and Pratt, and then Lockheed Martin and Sikorsky. So, and then all of the supply chains that feed them. And if you think about manufacturing as an industry, energy is a core input. And the Northeast has been struggling for some time. And I say the Northeast is not just Connecticut. We're part of a regional grid. So it's all of New England. We've been suffering with these high energy prices for some time. If you look at 2024, our energy prices were 140% higher than the rest of the United States. And I can sell a lot of things about Connecticut. I can sell a workforce. Some folks will say our workforce is expensive. Well, it's because they're very high quality. They make incredibly complicated things here. We make, you know, not only the national defense primes I mentioned, but ASML is based here, which makes photolithography machines. These are the machines that make semiconductors. Some of the most complicated machines in the world, perhaps the most complicated machine in the world, is built right here in Connecticut. And then, so that's kind of the risk currently. It's high energy prices are already a risk to our economy because we have greater exposure. We, Connecticut, have greater exposure to manufacturing than other states in the region. We're 12% and growing. Every other state in the region is 8% or less and declining. And not only is it a significant portion of our economy, but it's a significant portion of our growth. So last federal data that just came out, ours is the ninth fastest growing economy in the country, which is awesome. Yeah. But if you then dig down into what's driving that, I mean, some of it is other industries like finance and insurance growing really nicely, which is great for us. But then it's also this manufacturing sector. As the last administration, this administration really prioritizes the onshoring of supply chains feeding our national defense as a national priority. That's been great for our economy. But that's why I call it an existential threat. It's not just about the composition of our economy. It disproportionately is contributing to our growth. And it's almost growing despite ourselves because of those high energy prices.
So it's interesting because I feel like when there are debates about what to do to bring the energy costs down in Connecticut, we always look at it from a residential point of view, right? But when you look at the economic impact, you know, it's hard to argue with that. And I would think politicians on both sides of the aisle would be concerned about that. I mean, I know in this article, it talks about, you know, data centers, as you mentioned, artificial intelligence applications, more manufacturing, advanced manufacturing. You know, when you look at that, we need to be able to lower costs. What would you suggest Connecticut do then, you know, just from a business standpoint? I mean, if this is going to impact our economic growth, I would think that there'd be more bipartisan support to figure out lowering costs in general.
So, but here's the problem. The problem is the system. In my view, so what you just described is the local dynamics, mm-hmm. which, you know, you've got every state in New England with their own politics, their own elected leaders informing those politics and different regional considerations. But at the end of the day, any megawatt that is procured gets fed into a regional grid. It goes into all of New England, and the megawatts simply flow to where the greatest demand is. That's just the nature of a regional grid. So that's the problem we have. We have a system that is regional in nature, but then we have politics that are, you know, that was a Tip O'Neill, like, you know, they're always local. And that's where I think we've just gone wrong. If you look over the last 20 years, that's when that spread between what New England pays for power, and I'm talking at the wholesale level. You're right, at the retail level, there are things in between like transmission and distribution. But at the wholesale level, even though that which is procured goes into a regional grid and it's managed by a regional system, states are left to their own devices on what to procure. So 2019, this is before my time, but you know, we, the state of Connecticut, on our own, kept Millstone, our nuclear power plant, operating. Thank God we did, because now 22% of our wholesale market is nuclear. But that's crazy that Connecticut ratepayers had to do that deal, if you will, or you know, our elected leaders, Governor Lamont, did that on our behalf. But it's crazy that we were left on our own, and yet those megawatts pour into a regional grid. And by the way, we are a net energy exporter. Because again, megawatts flow where the demand is, and Massachusetts is the larger economy in the region, and therefore the larger consumer of energy. The good news is we've worked on that since then, and now four other states, in addition to Connecticut, so five total states, now have either the legislative approval or the authority to procure nuclear. So the next go around, we will do that more regionally. I think that's how we have to rethink this system. It shouldn't be individual states deciding their own individual procurements. Mm. And this is where I think the ISO failed. So the ISO is our regional grid operator. The article you're referencing, what kicked off this call, mm-hmm. was because I did an event with someone from the ISO. And I walked out.
Oh, interesting.
And I don't want to sound petty, but I was angry. I was angry because, you know, in my view, the ISO blames individual states and our local politics. But I blame the system. And if there's ISO as the operator of our system, you know, needs to do a better job of managing regional needs. Their primary focus, as it should be, is grid reliability. You know, does the light turn on when the switch switches? And that's clearly a priority. But part of their mission is also prices, energy costs. And if we're going to talk about affordability, which is Governor Lamont's, you know, one of Governor Lamont's priorities, you know, then you can't do that and not talk about the cost of energy. And you can't just simply blame individual local politics. If you've got a regional problem, you need a regional solution. So I think we need to fundamentally re-architect the way we think about the system.
It's sort of, you know, that drawing that you see where the three different Spider-Men are all pointing at each other. It's sort of that, where we could go back and forth, whether it's the grid system or if it's the, you know, states acting independently, but ultimately something has to give. Now, what I think is interesting, again, we've got Dan O'Keefe here. You had said, you know, kind of acting together, which I'm wondering if that's a tall task. Like, how do you get Connecticut on the same page as Massachusetts, Vermont, Maine, New Hampshire, for example? Like, how do you get us? Or does that have to come down to ISO New England, the grid system? Like, does it start with them? You know, which I guess, how do you make that work where we are more regional, like you were saying, versus independently acting right now?
It's incredibly challenging. There is no magic wand here. If there was, we would have waved it years and years ago.
Fair.
Right? The analogy I use, you mentioned the Spider-Man analogy. I talk about the prisoner's dilemma. And if you know that logic equation, you've got two prisoners in separate rooms. If they coordinate, then they both get set free. But of course, because they're in separate rooms, both blame the other guy, and they both go to jail. The only way to get out of a prisoner's dilemma is to coordinate. Mm-hmm. We need regional collaboration. We've now got five of our six states collaborating us around nuclear. I personally think, and this is easy for me to say, hard to affect, is that we should have a long-term regional energy strategy that has long-term goals for what that mix is going to look like. I think we're making a mistake by, using one example. Prior to the Trump administration's all-out assault on wind, we, the state of Connecticut, Governor Lamont, passed on the most recent wind procurement. That's separate from the procurement, you know, that's already happening, or the project that's already underway and will complete. But we passed on it, and it's probably obvious why we did it. It was too expensive. It's too expensive, and that is a relative determination. Whether or not something is expensive, it depends on what your current cost is. It's expensive because we already pay too much for energy. I think if our energy was more aligned, if our costs were more aligned competitively, then I think the decision there might have been different. And that's the message I'm really trying to send to people. I am pro-environment. We need to be investing a pace in renewables. You know, if you look at our, again, wholesale market right now, it's about 22% nuclear. It's about 12% renewables. That number, and I don't see a world that doesn't include, I don't see a carbon-free world that doesn't include nuclear. So nuclear and renewables, you know, are both areas where we need to be investing apace over the next 25, 50 years. But we need to do it in a way that keeps our energy prices competitive. You know, we could power our whole economy on wind, solar, and nuclear, you know, but it very quickly, but it would create an incredibly expensive energy environment. I think we need to think about it the opposite way. I think we need to think about investing at pace while keeping our energy prices competitive. I think people in this region will pay a premium for clean energy. I certainly will, as a consumer who cares about our environment, but it's not going to be 140%. We over-indexed, and we need to come back to base principles, have a long-term regional energy strategy that includes the investment of pace in renewables while keeping our energy prices competitive. We forgot that last variable.
Have you talked at all about this with the governor or other lawmakers? I mean, obviously, this was a forum that, again, was certainly highlighted in local news. But have you, like you said, Dan, you've been talking about this for, you know, long before this was highlighted in Hartford Business. You know, have you gotten feedback or response from Governor Lamont Constantly. Or others?
Constantly. I mean, the governor and I speak almost every day. This is a constant topic of conversation between the two of us, but also with DEEP, our energy agency, and Commissioner Dykes. Everyone now recognizes the challenge. Everyone recognizes, I think, that the solutions are complex, but that the solutions are really a requirement. You know, again, you can't sit here and talk about affordability without one of our highest costs being on the table. And the solutions are complex. And I've also said this publicly, and I'll say this here. The answer is going to be natural gas as a bridge fuel. We're not talking about oil. We're not talking about coal. We're talking about natural gas. One of the problems I think we now can look back and realize is that over the past 20 years, we underinvested as a region. And also, if I look at New York, because natural gas flows through New York to get to this region, we underinvested in the infrastructure required to allow incremental natural gas to come into this region to keep our prices competitive. You know, my view is we need to relook at that infrastructure and build where required to make sure we can bring back that variable of relative price. If I'll tell you, personally, if we were to invest in natural gas infrastructure and never need it, I would sleep well at night because options always have value. That would give us the ability to bring it in if we need to keep our prices competitive, and not if we continue to invest in renewables and remain relatively competitive with the rest of the United States. I would sleep incredibly well at night because if we don't need it, that means renewables kicked in at appropriate scale, which we're all hoping they will. But hope is not a strategy.
And the other thing, too, Commissioner O'Keefe, was, I think, acknowledging that we have just a lack of, it feels like, resources, options, if you will. And I obviously that I think ties in with what you're talking about, you know, Connecticut's structural challenges that we have currently. I mean, you know, talking about having options, it feels like we don't have a lot. And even though, you know, you'll hear from some of the major energy companies, you know, shop around. Like, I love when that's told to us, like, shop around. I don't see where that, you know, if people were really able to shop around effectively, this wouldn't be, I feel like, I don't want to call it crisis level, but certainly where, you know, the average person in Connecticut, like I said, going back to just the residential perspective of it, wouldn't be panicking over this constantly if there were just so many resources and options out there.
Yeah. Look, I think you know, one of the things I said in a social media post that you know, in reflecting on this conversation with the ISO, is the definition of insanity is to keep banging your head against the wall, keep doing the same thing and assume a different outcome. We got to stop, you know, doing the same thing and assuming a different outcome. You know, at the end of the day, we got it wrong. You know, 20 plus years ago, we deregulated, but we didn't deregulate the entire market. That was done by then elected leadership, I think thoughtfully, with the expectations that it would bring pricing down. If you look at what's happened since then, the opposite has happened. So at some point, you just recognize you made a mistake and you re-architect, you know, but that's where, again, this gets so complex. There is no magic bullet here because it's a regional grid. So just simply me saying, go ahead and re-architect is very challenging when you've got a, you know, a body that is a regional ISO that's federally regulated, And you've got a region made up of, you know, obviously different states with different goals and different priorities. What I just said is easy to say, but incredibly hard to accomplish. Mm. We, the state of Connecticut have been incredibly hard at work on it. And I want to recognize that. I want to recognize my fellow commissioner because, you know, I'm here on behalf of the Connecticut economy. But Commissioner Dykes is who's been really working on this for a long time now. And there has been progress. But I think at some point we have to recognize that progress isn't just about getting individual states to collaborate. It's also recognizing the system needs to include not only grid reliability, but relative price, mm-hmm. competitiveness of energy costs. Because if we get that more in line, that does mean lower costs to our consumers and to our businesses.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Again, Commissioner Dan O'Keefe, I want to thank you so much for giving us the time and talking about this, and certainly we'll keep an eye on it, as I know you will, and see what happens after these types of conversations. I think they're really effective. And again, I'm glad to hear that there's collaborative conversations happening, but interesting to see if there's any action that will take place. Like you said, very complicated, but some good ideas on the table. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Of course. No, thank you for having me.